Happy 40th, Q92. This is Carrie Tollefson, and I so appreciate all that you do for the Madison and Dawson area. It is an honor to hear my name on Q92, and I love you guys. Thank you, and congratulations.
The time now, 9:06. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now, the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
And a good Saturday morning, everyone. Paul Ramo here in the studios, and Dick Newman is has a funeral this morning, so he's not in the studios with us, but Dylan Erickson is, La Caprile Valley girls basketball coach. Good morning, Dylan. How are you doing?
Good morning, Paul. Yeah, I'm doing well.
You got here just in time.
Just in time, right?
We're radio. So that's good. How did your week go?
Good. Yeah, we had a nice week. We knew it was going to get busy here for a stretch, so we needed to, you know, make sure we worked on things we needed to, and at the same time, you know, still get up and down and keep our legs moving a little bit. So yeah, we knew we were, you know, had a tough one with Mendiota on Tuesday, and then we were gonna, last night we were down in Granite playing YME, and then we got today, we go to Hancock, so we knew we were gonna be busy. We got a day off, and then we go Monday, Tuesday next week. So we had to fit a lot of things in early in the week and kind of get prepared for everybody a little bit. You know, like today we'll go out to the school at about 10:30, you know, and get through a walkthrough and some film and things like that, and kind of just know our matchups and get a little more prepared for them, and well, you get see what to expect. So it's fun.
Get to take on the defending state champions.
Yeah,
today,
top five ranked and defending state champs. They got pretty much most of their pieces back from last year's run. Yep. And I know we saw face them this summer a little bit, so we're a little familiar with them at least, you know, so we have an idea where we're at.
You beat them this summer, didn't
you? Yeah, we played right with them this summer, and so that was fun. So it gave the girls some confidence, I think, and just, you know, understanding and knowing that they can really play with a team like that, especially if they play our brand of basketball and the way we have been playing as of late. So, yeah, we're looking forward to another opportunity today.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that in a little bit, but let's talk about your week this week, Dylan.
Yeah, so we had Mendiota come to town or come out to the school on Tuesday night for a north-south matchup, and you know they're a really good team, and they have they lost a couple from last year's team, but they have a majority of juniors but back, and a senior guard forward that's pretty dang good, and so we knew we were gonna have our hands full, but we knew we could play with them, and I thought the girls were in a pretty good spot, you know, prepared wise, and you know, things that we were gonna try to stop them from doing and things that they might try to do to us. And so we come out of the gates. It was an awesome, awesome atmosphere. You know, had that playoff feel to us, you know, kind of like the game against Monty at home. Had that awesome feel and you know, a lot of energy in the gym from the fans, and just, you know, we have the great announcers to start the game. I know you guys talked about that on the radio a little bit with Darby and Bart doing the PA stuff. And so that gets the girls a little extra juice, I think, to start the game. And, well, maybe not for us this time. We still came out with plenty of nerves, and you know, had the whole Mendiota effect a little bit, shocked to us, and we missed some early, some easier looks, early shots, you know, or easier looks early. Yep. And you know, we were taking some quick trigger threes and things, just trying to get the ball out of our hands. Ball wasn't moving much, and then defensively we kind of let them get out in transition early and kind of hit us in the face a little bit. And you know, so you know, take a timeout going all of a sudden you're down 9-0, you know, a team like that. It plays a really good defensive team and can obviously score the ball at a high rate. And just all that message was basically we just need to relax. Yep. You know, just need to calm down, and it's just basketball. You know, yep. Yes, we're playing Mendiota, and yes, maybe we've never beat them before, but we just need to relax and be able to play our game. And once we saw that first bucket go and we could kind of take off, yep. And Jalen Lee came in off the bench and gave us that extra spark we really needed and gave us that juice we needed to start to get going. You know, she hit a layup and get a three, and we got a few stops in transition. We got a few stops, you know, back-to-back stops and got a few buckets going that way. And
Jalen hit the three before halftime. That was
huge going into half. Yep. Yeah, so leading into that, you know, we finally got it tied up at, I think it was 17-17 or 18-18, and then it was kind of a little bit back and forth. I think we took the lead by 3-4 points, and then they tied it, and then they got it within one right before half, and then Jalen knocks down that buzzer beater right in the corner. right before half that really got everybody amped. You know, we got the – finally when we tied it up, kind of went on a little bit of a run there. I think we went like 11-0 run back ourselves at one point. We kind of got the crowd back into it, you know, and got the fans going a little bit, and that gave us that extra spark to keep going. And so, yeah, hitting that shot before half was huge. And she gave us eight points in that first half, you know, that really, really jolted us. And that was huge to see. Like I've said, you know, for multiple weeks now, for her, it's win, not if. It's not, you know, it's not that it's not there. It's there. It's just we needed to untap it and get that potential out of there. And we're starting to see it more and more and more consistently, too. So, yeah, going into halftime up by 24-22, you know, feeling pretty good where we're at, you know, because of our first 5 minutes, you know, if you take that out of that, you know, we're sitting pretty. We're like where we're at. But other than that first 5 minutes, I was proud of our effort and, you know, and how we kind of responded to the adversity right away when they hit you like that to start the game. And I thought we, you know, senior leadership, we have a ton of it and thought we did a good job just, you know, because that could have combated to another 5-0 run. And then we could have maybe scored, you know, so we could have just let it go. And I thought we did a really, really good job of that. And so then the second half, too, we kind of just – again, I think Bart said a stat on the radio at one point, you know, going into the second half, we were on like a 35-16 run, and that's kind of where we saw our lead get to that 8-10 points, and we'd get to 12 once in a while, and we kind of just held that there. Pretty much the whole second half kind of playing back and forth once we got that gap right out of halftime. Again, making some shots and getting to the free throw line a little bit and, you know, just honestly playing the way we want to play with pushing the ball at times when being smart about it and then just moving the ball on offense and sharing it and then getting some more inside touches. You know, we're going to see a ton of different defenses. Like last night we saw another different junkie type defense that kind of takes some of our girls away. And on Tuesday we saw, you know, they kind of doubled up Cam wherever she went and, you know, had some openings on the perimeter that we're going to have to attack different ways. And now that we've seen it, it's going to be a lot easier to attack it and understand what they're trying to do and how we can attack it. And the girls saw it too. So now when they get put in that situation, you know, we should be able to respond a little bit better and a little bit quicker that way to attack it and really make them pay for doing what they're trying to do. So, again, coming away with a 55-44 win, really nice effort down the stretch, making free throws and being strong with the ball and valuing it. And, yeah, so really proud of our girls. And I know you walk into that locker room, it was quiet until I said something, and then it just kind of exploded. It was pretty awesome. It was a pretty cool feeling that, yeah, you know, for them, too. I know we hear a lot about them, and we haven't beat them, so...
That's my question, Dylan, that nobody can seem to answer. Was that the very first time Locker Parl ever beat Mineola?
I talked to Bart this week. And
well, Bart did a lot of research.
He was doing research, and he said he was all the way back in the archives to 03 and hadn't had anything. And I'm not sure if we would have played him, you know, back then, really. Definitely not as much either.
I think when Locker Parl was in the West Central Conference, Mineola played in our holiday tournament a few times.
But yeah, because I know the boys did for sure. I wasn't sure if the girls did. So, yeah, I guess there's really no records, like, apparently, to Bart's knowledge now, of to 03. So I'm going to say it probably is.
Yep.
So, again, that's awesome to get that kind of relief and monkey off the back for everybody that, you know, fans, everything. They've come and watched us play Mineola now for the last at least 10 years. You know, and we haven't seen a victory out of it, so that's pretty fun for all of us.
Well, might get them again.
You know? And you never know. I mean, if we get to the goals we want to reach, there's a good chance we could see them again and maybe multiple times yet. So, yep. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And
did you go through stats there?
Yeah, I can run through the stats here quick. Again, really, really balanced scoring night for us, which, you know, for a team coming in to try to play defense against us, they literally have to guard every position all night long. If they try to take somebody away, we literally can find another way to score and get somebody in a position that we can utilize. So Riley Lund led us off with 11 points, shooting 3-6 from three again, shooting the long ball well. We really need that. She's really helped space us out, you know, running the point guard for us and getting our tempo going. And, you know, she didn't have any assists on the night, but the last two games, every time we start a break, every time we get out and run, it starts with her and starts with her pace by, you know, making that pass before the assist or the two pass before because she puts us in that pace and that tempo. So it's really awesome to have someone like that that's so crafty and creative that way and so smart with the game. So she had 11 points, a rebound, and three steals. Ayanna Gibson had 10 points, 9 rebounds, an assist and a steal, or 4 steals, and again playing super, super good defense, you know, just being so active and working so hard on Ireland Sosn, who's a really tough matchup. Isabel Curtis had 9 points, a rebound, 2 assists, and 4 steals. Taylor Shelstead had 7 points, 7 rebounds, and assist. Cameron Lee had 10 points and 18 rebounds and 1 assist. And then Jalen Lee had 8 points, like I said. Big first half for us and 4 rebounds. And then Kayla Jan came in there for a few possessions in the second half and really turned the intensity up on defense for us and got us a steal right away when she came and made an impact, and we got a bucket out of it. So, again, it's players like that being able to come in, know their role, and being really effective at it, too, is really awesome.
Okay. Good win for you guys.
And that was awesome, yeah. Kind of put us by ourselves so far in the Camden Conference standings, and yeah, it's pretty awesome. Right.
What you have up next then?
And then last night we traveled down to Granite to a YME team who's pretty young. They have their post player out. I know they get her back on Monday or Tuesday or something like that. Had a little ankle or foot injury, but yeah, really young, youthful, but again, scrappy, play hard. They are kind of some streaky scorers too. So at times they hit some shots. You just kind of look back and like, well, you know, they got us that time. And to start the game, yeah, so they were in kind of a 1-3-1 junkie type defense that was taking Cam away again in the inside and really taking away one whole half the court. And you know, it took us a while to get adjusted to it and kind of understand what they were doing again to us. And you know, I told them at halftime we'd like to see, because the second half of the first half we started to hit it in stride and figure it out a little bit. But you know, we need to start figuring this out. Maybe, you know, we can do it, but we need to start figuring it out a little bit quicker. You know, two, three minutes, you know, ahead of that, we need to start really recognizing and being able to do that. But once we understand what they're trying to do to us and how they're trying to take us away and guard us, we've done a really good job at understanding now this is how we want to attack and how we want to score out. So we really hit a stride to end the first half, going into half up 33-22. Again, giving up a few too many points inside, you know, on some straight line drives and right at the rim, and they hit a couple shots too to keep it going, keep it close in that first half. But then we hit that stride, like I said, and kind of got our gap. And then the second half, you know, talked about how we wanted to attack the zone a little bit better, and then we started knocking down some shots and getting, you know, girls were hitting the middle, and we're, you know, making our reads way quicker and finally like we know we can do. And so then we played much better defensively in the second half to eliminate anything in the paint and then rebounding with some good effort. So we ended up outscoring them 40-14 in the second half. And then their youth kind of showed up a little bit there, and we ended up winning 73-36 in a nice conference win again for us down there. That's never an easy place to play either.
It's a tough gym.
It is. So and the atmosphere again, it was kind of quiet for a Friday night, and but really proud of our effort and that we were able to make adjustments and kind of figure it out on the fly and then be able to do that. So
you mentioned your defense. You know, that's kind of been carrying you, but doing well. You've been playing some good defense the last couple games I've watched anyway.
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's probably what we're best at right now, honestly. Okay. You know, we can score the ball, but defensively, the way we've bought in and everybody flying around and scrambling out of things and situations and, yeah, just the effort we're playing with defense, you know, it's growing for the last 3 years, and you know, I'm a defensive guy first anyways.
Okay.
and so it's been obviously a hard point for me, and yeah, it's super fun to watch girls play with so much effort defensively, and then we make things so much easier for us offense, because we're playing in transition, or you know, we got some momentum going into playing offense, and then we're getting some more rhythm shots at the other end. And so yeah, it's kind of been a staple for us right now, and I hope we can keep that up against like a Hancock and some other teams and going into playoffs, so you can play some defense and play physical, because they let you play a little bit more in the playoffs, so that's only going to help us too down the stretch. But yeah, super impressed with our effort there at that end that they bought in.
Yeah, when you emailed me the stats last night, I did know, steals. You had a number of steals in the game, I think.
Yeah, Taylor had a really nice night, you know, guarding their point guard and stripping her a few times. Okay. and getting at the rim, and yeah, a couple other ones too, getting in some passing lanes and getting us going again. And yeah, that's what it takes. You know, our first 3, 4, or 5 minutes, you know, offensively we weren't great, but defensively we actually weren't very sharp either, and we were allowing too many things. And once we kind of turned the notch a little bit and turned it up a little bit, that's when we started creating more chances on offense and really frustrated them on defense.
Okay. Stats?
Stats here. Taylor led us with a nice night, shooting 8 of 10 from 2. She had 23 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 6 steals. Jalen Lee had another really nice game for us. Again, you know, getting in there, being active and creating things for herself, whether it was on the rebounding end or just scoring in general. And we're starting to see more consistency like that, and I really like that out of her, because that just adds such another dimension to us. And so she had 12 points and 4 rebounds and a steal. Cameron Lee had 10 points and 5 rebounds and an assist. And again, had 2 people on her pretty much all night. First half, she was hard to get her some open looks. Second half, we did a better job of finding some seals and making those reads and getting her the ball too in good spots. Isabel Gertis had 8 points, 6 rebounds, two assists and two steals. Again, I thought on the second half, the first half and the second half, she had a really, really nice all-around game. Whether it was rebounding, defensively, she was totally more, way more engaged, and then made some really nice reads on offense, too, and got everyone else involved. So I was really proud of that effort, too. And then Ayanna Gibson had 7 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Riley Lund had 8 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, and 3 steals. Cameron Lee also had a block shot. I think she had one the other night, too, against Mignot. I think I missed that. But, again, really nice team effort. Again, anytime you can get a win is great, and especially a conference win, and then on the road on a Friday on, you know, a situation like that. And then we got, you know, a back-to-back night, or this afternoon today. So.
All right. Yeah, B-Squad, I know B-Squad went in overtime with Mignot on Monday.
Yeah, B-Squad got the overtime win on Monday, and then last night maybe kind of slipped back into some of our old habits and didn't quite have the effort and energy we wanted that we've been showing the last, you know, week and a half. Okay. So that was kind of I know Sherb was a little disgusted with that a little bit, just the strides we'd be making. You come off a win like Mignota, you want to keep that thing going and playing at that level, and we kind of took a few steps back last night. But we're looking to rebound again today.
All right, what do you got coming up this week then?
Yeah, so like I said, we got a really good opportunity today to get better and to, you know, you never know what happens in games like that. It should be a really good one. If you're a basketball fan in general, again, not just an Eagle fan, it's going to be a fun atmosphere to play over there. It's a small gym. Their crowd really gets into it, and they're going to heckle us a little bit. And we talked about that last night a little bit, that we got to stay composed, and our word and our motto is together, and we always do everything together. So it's going to take a close-knit group like that to really propel on the road like that. So yeah, we got them, and then we get one day off, and then we're at home against Camby.
Yep.
And then we're on the road at RCW on Tuesday.
All right.
And then we got a couple days off, and then we'll finish up on Friday at Prinsburg, CMCS. So, yeah, really busy stretch here, and next 2 weeks don't get any easier or any lighter on the schedule, but that's all right.
All right. Well, good luck today against the defending state champions, Hancock Owls.
Hancock Owls. Yep. It should be on YouTube if you can't make it over there, so they should have it live streamed. So, yeah, it should be a really fun, really fun game. So.
And I'll be at the Eagles Nest on Monday with the Camby game.
So. Awesome. Sounds good. Have a good weekend, everybody. Go Eagles.
Dylan Erickson, head coach of the Lac Parle Valley girls basketball team, and we'll take a break and continue with the coach's show right after this. Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. Join me Monday night from the Eagle's Nest. The Lac Parle Valley girls basketball team will host the Camby Lancers in a Camden Conference matchup. 7:30 tip-off. That's the Camby Lancers and the Lac Parle Valley Eagles and girls basketball Monday night, 7:30, right here on Q92. Tune in.
Hey gang, Ryan Phelps from Minnesota Sports Radio here to say congratulations to KLQP, celebrating 40 wonderful years on the air. To Maynard, Paul, and all of you that help out with the great programming, here's to you on a job well done. I, for one, am very proud to be a part of your family. Keep it up, gang. 50 will be here in no time.
The Camby Sportsman Club and Camby Fire Relief Association presents their 5th annual ice fishing tournament at Del Clark Lake. Friday, January 27th, and Saturday, January 28th. Friday is a 24-hour tournament, and Saturday is a 2-hour tournament. Over $20,000 in prizes. That's right, $20,000 in prizes. Register for either event, and you could win the Garmin 2020 Reed's All-Season Live Scope Bundle. It's a family fun event. Food will be available, and listen for live broadcasts from Del Clark Lake on Q92. Official contest rules and information, check out Camby Sportsman Club Facebook page.
The City of Madison is working to update its comprehensive plan, which is a tool that presents a community's vision and policies for the long-range future by incorporating public input and goals gathered through a robust planning process. To collect community input, surveys have been distributed over the past month. There's been a great response. Now they're preparing for a community meeting Monday, February 6, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Madison VFW. What do you want Madison to look like in the future? Your engagement and feedback will be of great value in helping determine the priorities for our community and further the discussion of some of the topics you've identified in the community survey. This will be an informal community discussion with the opportunity for everyone to share and listen to ideas and goals for the future. Bring a friend. Food and drinks will be provided. Please RSVP by calling City Hall 598-7373 or online at madisonmn.info by January 27th. They hope you can join them at the meeting February 6, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Madison VFW.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Going to turn our attention now to wrestling. And gosh, Hank, a very, very, very busy week with the varsity having seven duels. But a couple other things of very importance for the program. Last Sunday, over in Montevideo, I believe, you had an elementary tournament. And that's the team of the future. So that's very important, too. And then on Monday was a ninth grade dual meet. So let's talk about that, and then we'll cover your seven varsity matches.
Yeah, on Sunday we had our Caden Hundley Memorial Youth Tournament. And there's a pretty good turnout considering the Vikings were playing later in the day. So we still had about 150, 200 elementary students over at Montevideo Wrestling, so that was nice to see. And then, like you said, Monday, the ninth grade league, they went down to Tracy and wrestled their team section. And I think they ended up beating New London, Mineota, and Pipestone. And they ended up getting third and advancing to the ninth grade league state tournament, which is today in Mora.
Okay.
So that was pretty exciting for them to advance and now to wrestle in the state tournament for the ninth grade league.
Yeah, that's for sure. And if you listen last night up in Benson, you held some of the kids that are wrestling today out because of the match count and you know, a couple other things. So we'll talk about that that you had last night a little bit later on. But first off, on Tuesday, you were at a great quadrangular down in New Ulm, and fantastic results.
Yeah, Tuesday night we went to New Ulm and we had three section opponents, and we started off with the number six ranked Hutchinson. They're in our section and they're one of the teams to beat, and they're ranked sixth right now in AA. And yeah, we started off with Ben Gummickson got a pin in the first period right away, and then we had 113 was open for us, so we forfeited there. And then at 120, Holland Shocker got a pin over number two ranked Logan Schwann out of Hutchinson. So that was a little bit of a surprise there. You don't think you're going to pin the number two ranked kid in state too often. But Holland went out there and got that job done. Then at 126, Dan Gummickson lost to Max Martin 4-3 in a real close one. At 132, Cameron Sather got a pin for Team United. At 138, Xander Claussen got another fall for us. At 145, Adrian Norman lost to state ranked Trey Card from Hutchinson. At 152, Mason McDougal ended up getting pinned by Luke Hogue from Hutchinson. At 160, we had Ethan Moravitz. He lost a close one to Eddie Tristan, 4-2. At 170, Holt Larson got us back in the winning column, and Holt pinned Jay Rickerson in the first period. At 182, Mason Peterson lost by a fall. At 195, Parker Botham lost to state ranked Hander Vandervoort by a 13-2 decision. At 220, Zach DeBeer got a pin over Evan Pierce from Hutchinson. He won 4-0 over Evan Pierce from Hutchinson. Then came down to heavyweight, and like it has a few times this year, and Brady Rohde went out there and got a pin for us in the third period. So, and the score ended up being United 39, Hutchinson 34.
Yeah, that must have been very, very, very exciting, and probably the most exciting match of the day or of the meet was right away the third match at 120 when Holland Shocker pinned the number two ranked kid in the state.
Yeah, I mean, you can go through. You can before the duel, you can look ahead and say, "Oh, we're going to win here. They're going to win here." And you can try to play that game, but you look at the box score, and it's never how you think it's going to go.
That's right. Never give up on kids, because they, this year, for sure, they've really come through for you.
Yeah. And then after that match, we had New Ulm, and they're another tough section opponent. We started off with Ben Gummickson. He got another pin for us in the first period. Then at 113, we're open again. At 120, Holland Shocker lost a close one to Elijah Reiser, 9-5. And at 126, Dan Gummickson got a pinfall for us. At 132, New Ulm was open, so Cameron Sather received a forfeit. At 138, Xander Claussen got a pin for us, and that was his 75th career pin, I believe. So, yeah, he got that one. And 145, Adrian Norman lost by fall. 152, Ethan Moravitz got a pin over Jameson Fredrickson. Then at 160, Mason McDougal lost by Tech Ball. At 170, Mason Peterson won a close match 5-4. 182, Holt Larson won by a pinfall. 195, Parker Bothan won by a Tech Ball 17-2. At 220, Zach DeBeer won by a fall. And then at heavyweight, Brady Rohde lost to a tough Evan Thompson 6-1.
Yeah, and those two will probably meet again in the section individuals and our team. So yeah.
Oh yeah, there's some tough heavyweights this year, but I think we got the toughest one of them all.
Yeah.
All right. Then our last duel of the night was against Quad County, and Ben Gummickson started us off with another pinfall, and then we were open at 13. Holland Shocker got a forfeit at 20. 126. Dan Gummickson got another fall over Blaine Carroll from Quad County. And then at 132, Cameron Sather got a pinfall. Xander Klaffner received a forfeit at 138. 145, Adrian Norman got a pinfall over Gage Corner. At 152, Mason McDougal got a pinfall in 10 seconds. That was a real quick one for Mason.
Wow.
At 160, Ethan Moravitz won a 6-2 decision. Then at 170, Mason Peterson lost by a fall in the second period. At 182, Holt Larson got a pinfall in 1 minute and 8 seconds. 195, Parker Bothan won a close one 11-10. And then 220, Zach DeBeer got a pinfall in 1 minute. And at 285, Brady Rohde won a 7-2 decision. And the final score was 63-12, Team United winning.
Okay.
The New Ulm score was Team United 50-23 for New Ulm. I don't think I said that, but
okay.
Yeah. So that was Tuesday night. And then we moved on to Thursday. We were in Dawson for a try. Our one of our home events. We honored our seniors there again. So we started off the night with Sock Center Melrose. And Ben Gummickson started us off with a fall again. He's pretty good at starting us off with a fall. It's always nice to have a good six-pounder to get you a nice little lead. And then Eli Olson received a forfeit. Then Holland Shocker won by a tech ball over Lena Walters. At 126, Dan Gummickson received a forfeit. At 132, Cameron Sather won a major decision 11-1. At 138, Xander Klaassen won by a fall. And at 145, Adrian Norman lost by a tuck ball over Jose De Los Santos. At 152, Ethan Moravitz received a forfeit. 160, Mason McDougal won by a pinfall. 170, Mason Peterson received a forfeit. And then Brian Rohde received a forfeit at 182, and Parker Bothan also received a forfeit. Then Zach DeBeer at 220, he won by a fall. And then at heavyweight, Brady Rohde lost a close 2-1 match. And then the score ended up being Team United 69, Sock Center Melrose 8.
Okay.
And then
I just want to remark on that night, too. You had a very, very, very good crowd. I know you only get one or two home events, and it was Parents' Night, and also the elementary kids were introduced and went around, gave high five to your team and stuff. So lots of excitement over in Dawson on Thursday night, and a super crowd, and they were well entertained.
Yeah, it was nice. In between the duels, we had the youth run around, like you said, and they got a wrestle for 30-second period.
Right.
Just give them a little something on the mat.
Sure.
Mom and Dad can take pictures, and I think they had fun with it, too.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, then we ended the night against Kimball area. And they got a pretty good team. They got some state-ranked wrestlers on their team.
Mm-hmm.
We started off with Eli Olson this time, and he went out there, and he got a pinfall for us in the first period. And then we bumped Ben Gummickson up to 113, and he had a real big, long, tall Connor Carlson. And it was an exciting match, and Ben ended up pinning him in the second period. Then at 120, Holland Shocker won a close match 6-5. At 126, Dan Gummickson, he got a pinfall for us. At 132, Cameron Sather got a pin for us. And at 138, Xander Klaassen received a forfeit. At 145, Adrian Norman lost by a fall. At 152, Ethan Moravitz won a 5-1 decision. At 160, Mason McDougal ended up getting pinned in the third period. At 170, Mason Peterson lost a close 9-5 decision. At 182, Brian Rohde lost by a fall to the state-ranked Hank Meyer. At 195, Parker Boffin won by a pinfall, and then Zach Beer and Brady Rohde won by forfeits to end the duel. And the final score ended up being Team United 54, Kimball 21.
Okay.
So, and then we finally ended our busy week in Benson last night. We started off against the Benson Braves, and we were sitting a few guys for match count issues because they only allow you to wrestle in 16 events. And so we had to rest a few guys, and we had a few guys out for other reasons. But so we knew we were a little shorthanded. I told the guys coming in it's going to be close, and it was a close one. started off with Eli Olson, and he was tied up 2-2 late in the third, and then he got caught on his back and ended up getting pinned by Gavin Olson from Benson. And then Gavin Mortensen from Team United, he lost by a tech ball over Max Nygaard. And that was Gavin's first varsity match, and he went out there and fought, and he saved us a team point, which ended up mattering in the end.
Sure.
And then Bentley Boffin lost by a fall at 126. Dan Gummison got us rolling in the right direction with a pinfall in 20 seconds. At 132, Cameron Sather got a fall. Adrian Norman at 138 got us a fall. Xander Clausen at 145 got us a pinfall. And then Ethan Moravitz at 152 won a major decision 11-2.
Yeah, he got his last points right at the very end to make it a major. So that was
held him on his back out of bounds. Yeah, that was another big point there for Ethan to pick up for us. At 160, Mason McDougal lost by a pinfall over Nick Bulldog. At 170, Noah Meyer lost a major major decision over state-ranked Preston McGee. Noah has been sick all week, and he fought hard and only gave up the major.
Right.
At 182, Mason Peterson lost by fall. Then at 195, Parker Boffin won by pinfall over Keegan Holgriff. Then at 220, Zach DeBeer lost by fall to a pretty tough kid in Thomas Dineen. He's two-time state champ. He's going to SDSU next year to wrestle. So that was a tough task of Zach to go out there, but he fought hard.
Yes, he did.
Then at heavyweight, we needed a pin to win, and Brady Rohde went out there and did it again for us and got a pinfall in the first period. And the final score ended up being Team United 40, Benson 39. Yeah, like I was saying, Gavin Mortensen going out there and getting just a tech ball instead of a pin. That's 1 point right there. And Noah Meyer going out there and not getting pinned and giving up a major, there's 2 points there, and that's the difference in the duel.
Sure. Yep. And that's why it's a team effort.
Yeah, it takes all 14 sometimes. And
that's right.
Sometimes it takes the guys you don't think we're going to win the match, but guys that not get pinned is what it comes down to. And like I said, I told the guys before their duel it's going to be a close one, and afterwards we huddled up and I said, I told you it's going to be close.
Was I right?
Yeah, I was right. Not always right, but that time I was, I guess.
Well, you probably got your first gray hairs last night on that one, huh?
No, I think I've had them for a while. But, yeah.
Okay.
But then we ended the night against Fergus Falls. And Eli Olson got us started with a pinfall in 32 seconds. And Gavin Mortensen got his first varsity win with a pinfall in 1:08 over Evan Mahogany. At 120, Bentley Boffin got pinned late in the third period. And then at 126, Dan Gummison received a forfeit. And then at 132, Cameron Sather had a nice close match. And he ended up pinning Caleb Froning in the second period. 138, Xander Clausen got a pinfall for us in 19 seconds. And at 145, Adrian Norman. Adrian's about a 126, 132 pounder, but we push him up to 145, and he does a great job. He fights hard. We like what he's doing for us. But he ended up getting pinned in the first period there against Joey Graff. 152, Ethan Moravitz won by a pinfall. 160, Mason McDougal won by a pinfall. 170, Mason Peterson lost by a pinfall in the first period. At 182, Brian Rohde, he lost over Delvin Roberts by a pinfall. At 195, Parker Bothan ended up getting caught and put on his back and ended up getting pinned in the first period. And Zach DeBeer won by a forfeit. Then at heavyweight, Brady Rohde won by a pinfall in 10 seconds. That was a quick pin for him.
Yeah.
So the score ended up being Team United 54, Fergus Falls 30.
Wow. So
a long, busy week.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Ended up being 7-0 on the week, so we'll take it, I guess.
Right. And upped your record, I believe, now to 17-1, just to Harrisburg over at the Milbank tournament between Minnesota and South Dakota, and Harrisburg is continuing their winning ways as well. So next week, what's on tap for you next week?
Well, right now, the ninth grade league,
that's
there's
right.
a tournament going on right now, so they're up in Mora wrestling.
Okay.
So we got Coach Luke Bothan and Mike Coyle up there. They got those boys fired up, ready to roll, so hopefully they can have some success up there. And then this upcoming week, Tuesday, we head to Tracy with just a duel with Tracy. They got a pretty good team, so that'll be a pretty good duel for us.
Right.
And then Friday is we head to Lamberton for the Red Rock Central invite.
That's
so it'll be a little
individual?
Different. We haven't had an individual tournament in quite a while, so it'll be a nice little change of pace for the kids. And then next Saturday is the ninth grade league. They have their individual state qualifier.
Okay. Yeah, and I might add that that ninth grade league, that's not a three-class system. It's a one-class system. So for the Team United today and more, they could be seeing St. Michael Albertville or Apple Valley or whoever, some real big schools. And in the past, these Class A and Class AA teams have done very well in that ninth grade league.
Yeah, they've had some pretty good success. They started off the day against Rosemont.
Okay.
It'll be nice to see someone we've never seen before. I'm pretty sure Rosemont doesn't know where Team United is at on a map, so maybe they can show them afterwards.
Yeah, they'll have to look it up there and say, wow, we hope the good results for them, but regardless, it's a thrill for them to be at that ninth grade league, so that's great. Also, after the Tracy just duel on Tuesday, you get a little practice time. That's something you haven't had a whole lot.
No, we've been one day of practice and we're off to a meet. And this week we've only had two practices because we've wrestled 3 days. And
right.
Some of those ninth grade league kids have wrestled 4 days, now 5 days this week. So it's a busy week, but
busy
that's what
week.
January is for us, I guess.
And if you don't practice and they have to watch weight, they're going to have to do their workouts at home. And probably one of the best things for mom and dad is they can go outside and shovel snow. So they can get their workout that way as well.
Yeah, hopefully the weather lets us have some practices this next
right.
week.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. I know you're going to be keeping contact with everybody on that ninth grade league today, and you can report on it. You can look on the guillotine tomorrow sometime and find out how they did, and then report on it next Saturday morning on the Culture Show.
Sounds good.
That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Culture Show after this.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap. It's a new all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@CamdenRecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap. Taking a look at a couple of things happening in the area this weekend. If you're interested in a Sunday evening church service, you're invited to join your friends at Calvary Baptist Church in Madison for Family Faith Night on Sunday, January 22nd. 4 p.m., they'll have a group Price is Right game for all ages. Disney trivia questions for the kids. 5:15, Calvary's worship service. Pastor Eric will be speaking on moral living. And at 6 p.m., dinner is served for all. It's not just for families with young kids, it's for everybody. So come on over to the Family Faith Night on Sunday night at Calvary Baptist Church, North Highway 75 in Madison. Sunday, January 22nd at 2 p.m., the Lackbarrow Valley Drama Department will offer a public performance of their one-act play, The 146-Point Flame by Matt Thompson, in conjunction with the Lackbarrow Valley Choir's Coffee House Concert at 3 p.m. This play tells the story of four young immigrant women in New York City in 1911, connected by their shared experience at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. The cast and crew will present this play at the subsection competition in Morris, January 28th. Following the Sunday performance this weekend, the choir will be serving coffee and treats while members perform solos and ensembles, along with special guest Brad Fernholz. Everyone is welcome to attend this event.
What started from mechanics at Drips Automotive has grown into the Heartland Motor Company you know today. As a third-generation business, we make it our goal to give you the hometown service experience you'd expect. We'll pick up and drop off your vehicle at work, or you can enjoy a cup of coffee in our comfortable lounge while you wait. We want to make your service appointment as comfortable and convenient for you as possible. We learn from humble beginnings. That's what hometown means. Schedule your service appointment online at heartlandmotor.com.
Find new roads at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk with head coach Carly Wager of the Lackbarrow Valley Dawson Boys Shadows now and catch up on how the Shadows been doing. Good morning, Carly.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, the Shadows been busy, haven't they?
Yes, it's a busy part of our season. We've got a competition, a couple of them, sometimes two in a week. So, yeah, it's been busy.
All right. Well, pick up where we left off last Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, so last Friday, we actually had JV attend the Montevideo competition. And so they ended up getting first in both kick and jazz, which was really exciting. We're really happy for them. So for JV kick at Montevideo, they got first. And then second place was Minnewaska. And we had a rank point of 3, and they had a rank point of 6. And due to not as many kick teams, they only announced the first and second places there. And then for JV Jazz, Lackbarrow Valley Dawson Boyd was first with 3 rank points. Minnewaska JV was second with 6 rank points. And third was Montevideo with 9.5 rank points. And so, the girls went out and danced very well, and so they just keep doing better each time they get out on the floor, so it's fun to see their improvement and their growth from the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. How many girls do you usually have on JV, the kick and jazz, and what grades are they usually, Carly?
It varies. Okay. Yeah, so depending on the year, but typically we've had bigger JVs, which is awesome because they help build our team for varsity. And so this year I think we have 17, I believe, dancing JV. So yeah, it's a pretty good big size for a single A.
Okay, and they're doing well this year then?
Yes, they're doing very well. They've gotten first or second in each of their competitions. So we're okay. Really proud of them for their hard work.
Good. All right. How about the varsity?
So varsity traveled to St. Cloud Cathedral the next day. And that's why we didn't participate in the Montevideo competition. And so we had a long drive the next morning. And so for varsity jazz, Cathedral took first place with a rank point total of 4. And then Lackbarrow Valley Dawson Boyd took second place with a rank point total of 5. So it was very close. And then third place was YME with a rank point total of 9. And with our actual points, we are only 10 points away from Cathedral. Whereas before the last couple competitions that we saw them at, we were 22 points. And then at our home competition, we were 18 points. So we keep closing the gap there. So we're hoping that we can keep making that smaller and just keep working hard. So,
yeah, that was a big day at St. Cloud Cathedral. And I'll refresh my memory. Are they state champions in high kick and jazz?
They are, yes. Okay. Yep.
And they got good routines this year?
Yes. And for our varsity kick routine or category, Cathedral ended up coming out with first place there. That's the first time they've beat us all year, and that was a rank point of 5.5. And then Lackbarrow had got second place with a rank point total of 8, and we tied with Holdingford, who got 3rd with a rank point total of 8. And so the gym that we were performing in, the judges were very low. So we had a couple of them just sitting right behind us as coaches. And typically they're up higher. And so we were actually like nervous to kind of stand up out of our chairs and cheer like we normally do, because we didn't want to block their view at all, that they were that close. And so it's kind of unfortunate to have the judges that close, because then they don't see our whole routine and its effectiveness. And so I feel like that's where Cathedral got us, where the judges weren't able to see our formations and transitions and all that that really makes our routine. So we're hoping to rebound back on at YME today and go out there and do our best. Okay. So
talk about your routine. Maybe some of our listeners aren't familiar with that. There's a theme to it, and the choreography goes along with that theme. Talk about that a little bit, Carly.
Yeah, so we kind of have a theme for both kick and jazz this year. And so for our jazz, we're dancing to One Way or Another. And we were inspired by the Cruella theme. And so we have red and black uniforms. And so it's just really cool. They've got these fun hair pieces that have like feathers in there and these red and or white and black polka dots on there to kind of represent the Dalmatian spots. And so it's a fun routine. It's something that's on the opposite end of the spectrum of what they did last year, which was a slow, emotional, lyrical routine. And so this year they go out, you know, having fun and showing off their facials and just kind of a more sassy, fun, upbeat routine. So they have fun performing that one. And then Varsity Kick is dancing to Blown Away by Carrie Underwood. And so we kind of channeled our inner tornado stormy theme. And so a lot of our formations and dance choreography has a lot of turns and tornado-y effects.
Funnel-cloud-like stuff?
And so, the girls really enjoy performing that one too. So they don't dread doing that routine at practice every day, so that's good.
And their uniforms kind of go along with the theme too, right? And kick?
They do, yes. And we actually had to put all of those rhinestones on ourselves. And so a big thank you to my other coaches, Ellie and Hope, and the parents that helped with the couple weekends of rhinestoning. And so it takes a lot of hands and a lot of time to put all those rhinestones on individually. So
there's a lot of them, that's for sure.
It is, so, yeah.
All right, getting back to the St. Cloud Cathedral competition, were there other teams there that you don't usually see?
Yes, that was our first time competing against Holdingford. And we knew going in that they were going to be tough competitors as well, too. We have a man called, his name is Travis Cahill, and he kind of puts all of our scores together and ranks us for the top 10 in state. And so for Varsity Kick, we were ranked number 1, with St. Cloud being ranked number 2. And then YME was ranked number 3, and Holdingford was ranked number 4 in the state. And so they all were at this competition. So, it was really a really good kind of mini state competition to kind of see how things might play out. So, yeah.
Good. All right. Well, is that the – then you got you're in action tonight, today too, right?
Yes, we're at YME today, and the doors open at 9:15, and so nice and early. It starts at 10, and then we have a long day before awards are at 5:30. And so I did some counting, and there's 20 teams here today with 73 routines, and so it's gonna be a long day, but it's a back-to-back competition. So they've got 2 sets of judges on each side, and they just keep it rolling. So it'll be a good day. We've got JV Jazz performing at 11 and JV Kick performing at 12:30. These are all estimated times. Mm-hmm. Varsity Kick will be about 2:50 and Varsity Jazz will be about 4:30.
Wow. How many teams and how many routines did you say?
20 teams and 73 routines.
73 routines.
Yes, wow. It's a big day. It gets kind of tricky having that many routines and that many teams. So we might see some crazy scores coming on because that's a lot for the judges to to take on. So we'll take it, you know, and run with it. Right. So yeah.
Not to get back to the St. Cloud Cathedral competition, but. I know you look at the judges' scores and stuff and what they say you did well and what you need to improve on. What were the judges' scores like in St. Cloud?
Yeah, so we were only 10 points away for Jazz, and where they got us was the choreography and visual effectiveness. But with that, I feel like where they were positioned so close, they weren't able to see a lot of that from our routine. We like to choreograph our routines, you know, for the state floor in hopes that we end up at our goal there. And so that's what we keep in mind because the judges are so high up there. And so that's how we choreograph our routines. And so when they're sitting, you know, and staring you in the face, they don't get to see all of that. And
the visual
so I think
part,
where,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I think that hurt us at this competition. Mm-hmm. But we'll just keep pushing forward from there. And then for Varsity Kick, we were only 5 points away. And the one that, if I was analyzing, it was the kick height, which had the biggest gap within there. Mm-hmm. So, again, like where they were sitting could help would hinder that as well, too. Mm-hmm. So, proud.
Oh, I'm sorry. So did you take that and then implement that in next week's practice? Or?
Yeah, to a degree. Okay. We call it small gym syndrome. And so I like to not hinder so much of what happened based on one competition.
Okay.
And so we've been doing so good at all the other competitions and we haven't changed, you know, really anything from our competition to their competition. And so you kind of take it with a grain of salt as it's new judging and stuff too each weekend. So, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, when we always have you on, Carly, we always like to feature maybe a couple shadows. We've been talking, I think you mentioned some of your seniors last time or some captains.
Yeah.
You want to feature a few of your shadows again?
Yes. So Ellie is really great at doing a Shadows newsletter. And so the two that were kind of standouts these last competitions were Brandy Meyer and Addie Dahl. And so they just have such hard work ethic and are always doing their best at each competition and wanting to make themselves better. And so, they're just a great asset to the team and we're happy to have them as a shadow.
Okay. Hey, I'm glad you mentioned a newsletter. I signed up for that. That's an awesome newsletter.
Oh, good. Yes. Ellie does such a nice job with that.
Great idea. You get the ins and outs of what's happening in the team. So.
Yes, definitely.
All right. All right. Did we cover everything, Carly?
I believe so.
Okay. Hey, have a fun day today. It's going to be a long day.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to see the results. So have fun today.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yep. That's Carly Wager, head coach of the La Caprile Valley Dawson Boys Shadows Dance Team. And we'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show right after this.
Actually, we're going to wrap up the coaches' show right now. No La Caprile Valley boys basketball report, but the boys did snap a 7-game losing streak last night by beating Ortonville 76-50. Thanks for listening to the coaches' show this morning.